This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 2 Chronicles. In today's message, Pastor Sandy will teach through 2 Chronicles, chapters 27 through 32.
Ahaz was like a piece of meat in the back of your refrigerator. He spoiled, and then he soured, and then he started giving off a foul odor. And then he stunk up the house. That's why I'm telling you guys, compromise is like a cancer. It grows and it metastasizes and it gets worse. This is that King Ahaz, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, "Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me." Now recall Isaiah's prophecy of Syria's destruction, that Emmanuel would come and would deliver Judah from the Assyrian power. Ahaz ignored God's word and his promises, and instead he worshiped the idols of Syria, no less. Notice the end of verse 23. "But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel." So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Notice this. He closed down the temple. Ahaz locked the doors and disconnected the utilities on the one place on earth God desired to be worshipped, the temple there in Jerusalem. We're told that in every single city of Judah, he made high places. These were altars to idols, to burn incense to other gods, and he provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. I'm telling you, this Ahaz was a blight on the nation Judah. He was a blatant blasphemer. We're told now the rest of his acts and all his ways from first to last. Indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem, for they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. Then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. And so Ahaz, was he a good guy? No, no, no. But now here's the good news. Hezekiah's son rebelled against his father. Here's one time when a child's rebellion is a good thing. Because Hezekiah rebelled against his dad Ahaz, and he starts to serve the Lord. Hezekiah becomes one of Judah's godliest kings and brightest lights. You know, it's interesting. Jotham was a godly king who had a wicked son, Ahaz. The evil Ahaz had a good son, Hezekiah. A godly Hezekiah sires the most ungodly king in all of Judah's history, Manasseh. Manasseh turns around and has a godly grandson named Josiah. It doesn't make sense, does it? This is encouragement to parents. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you do. You raise your kids the best that you can, and then you just pray, pray, pray. Regardless of a kid's parents and the training that they provide, kids still have a mind of their own, don't they? And they still ultimately make their own decisions and their own choices. As parents, we can only do what we can, and then we've got to get on our knees and we've got to pray. Chapter 29. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He reopens the temple, off to a good start. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel." Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity. Now it is my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before you to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense. Hezekiah calls the nation. He calls the people and the priests back to the Lord. Verses 12 through 14 list the priests who respond to the king's plea. They enter the temple. They clean out the debris. They ready the temple for worship, and it takes them 8 days. Verse 18, then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in the transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord. Then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. And the next few verses describe the offering of Hezekiah's sacrifices. Verse 25. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of King David of Israel. Notice this, sacrifice and song get together. And that's always a pleasant combination. It gives off a wonderful melody. You see, sacrifice makes us right with God. Praise puts us in rhythm with God. What a wonder it is to embrace Jesus as our Savior and then erupt in praise and in thanksgiving to Him. We're right with God and we're in rhythm with God when we're praising Him with all our hearts. So all the assembly worshiped. The singers sang and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshiped. And talking about the trumpeters sounding, Ramus, when in the world are you going to get back up here and play your saxophone on Sunday morning? Okay, great. I miss that sax on Sunday mornings. Anybody else? Amen. All right, good, good. Okay. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Notice this, they sang praise to God with the words of David and Asaph. In other words, they sang the songs that were written in the Psalms of Israel. In other words, they sang songs right out of the Bible. I love those songs that come straight from the Scriptures, where we're just singing the Word of God back to Him. We're singing God's lyrics. To me, those are special songs. Verse 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And we're given the number of the animals that were to be offered. It talks about hundreds of bulls, thousands of sheep, but there was one problem, verse 34. But the priests were too few, so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore, their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests. Now, notice a spiritual principle here. It was not a Levite's place to offer a sacrifice, but the years of all of this spiritual attrition had depleted the priesthood. And so until more priests are ready and prepared to serve, the Levites are called in to pinch hit and to help out. This is why God used Deborah to lead Israel against the Midianites. You know, we talk about it. God ordains male leadership among his people. But when there is a shortage of ready men, he uses godly women. God will place a pinch hitter in the lineup to seize an opportunity. Here he doesn't have the priest, so he goes with the Levites until more priests are available. Well, the last line of verse 35 tells us, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people since the events took place so suddenly. God doesn't choose to move when we're ready. I hope you know that. God chooses to move when he's ready. And we are the ones who need to be ready when God chooses to move. Here, all this happened so suddenly. The people had to be ready to go with God when God said move. Thankfully, these people were quick to obey. Chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel in Judah and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. It's interesting, the Passover was supposed to be an annual feast, but it had been neglected now for many, many years. For the king and his leaders and all the congregation in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. The prescribed time was during the first month. But again, God is not getting sticky here with technicalities. He sees that the people want to obey, and so God permits them to keep the Passover in the second month. But they could not keep it at the regular time because a sufficient number of priests had not consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together at Jerusalem, and the matter pleased the king and all the assembly. So they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, in other words, from the south to the north, that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner. Notice now, the invitation is sent out to the northern kingdom that has separated from the southern kingdom of Judah. The invitation has been sent out to the northern kingdom to come south, to join Judah in the keeping of the Passover. Around this time, the northern kingdom of Israel and Samaria were sacked by the Assyrians. And so this invitation probably went out to the remnant, those that were left in the land after the destruction had taken place. Then the runners went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters from the king and his leaders and spoke according to the command of the king. Children of Israel, return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Then he will return to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hands of the kings of Assyria. Hezekiah is offering the displaced northerners amnesty and refuge in Judah and Jerusalem. He says, and do not be like your fathers and your brethren who trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation as you see. Now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. The northern kingdom had rebelled, and they had established their own religion. You remember the calves of Jeroboam in Dan and in Bethel? And now they're giving, God is saying, don't be stubborn. Don't maintain this false religion that you've embraced. Come back to the Lord. Now's the time. Come back to the temple. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. For if you return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who lead them captive, so that they may come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn his face from you if you return to him. This is a great kindness being shown here by King Hezekiah. You remember a few years earlier in the days of Ahaz, Israel, these people in the north, had killed 120,000 men of Judah. These were the ones that had plunged 200,000 of their wives and children into slavery. Hezekiah could have gotten bitter. He could have said, man, you treat us that way? Now that you've been sacked by the Assyrians, we're going to leave you alone. You got what you deserve. Tough for you. Instead, he offers refuge. And he offers them an invitation to return and to worship the one true God. And so verse 10 tells us, so the runners passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun. But notice this, how sad. But they laughed at them and mocked them. Though they had been defeated, they remained unbowed and unrepentant. Nevertheless, from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun, they humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. And guys, this is what happens whenever we go out and share the good news of reconciliation, the message of Jesus Christ. We too get the same sort of responses. Some will mock us and laugh at us. Other folks will humble themselves and come to God. That's not for us to decide. Our job is to simply preach the gospel and share the good news of God's reconciliation. Well, also, the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. Now, verse 13 tells us that this was a great Passover, and it attracted huge crowds to Jerusalem. It was a wonderful occasion, but it could have been derailed, for a problem arises among these northern worshipers. Verse 18, for a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God. The Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Now the people either, they lacked the knowledge or the time to purify themselves properly. But neither God nor Hezekiah wanted to frustrate their repentance because of a technicality. In other words, these guys weren't exactly kosher. They hadn't gone through the cleansing rituals and so forth. But God let them participate in the Passover anyway. To me, this is grace in action. You know, God allows people who haven't necessarily worked it all out, who still don't have it together, to still participate in his work. That includes me. I'm certainly one of those who don't have it all together, who haven't been purified completely, trust me. And yet God still, his grace in action, he still allows me to serve him and to participate in my Passover, Jesus Christ. In other words, God makes room for works in progress. We got any works in progress here tonight? Isn't it great that God makes room for you and for me? This is his grace. And here he fans the flame of revival in our hearts. God is looking for any spark of repentance, any good thing in you. He wants to take that thing and he wants to fan it into a flame. God is not about to snuff out a good thing with a technicality. Well, verse 21 through 25 tell us that the Passover was kept with, quote, great gladness. It must have been a wonderful 7 days, for the people extended it another 7 days. It lasted for 2 full weeks. We're told they praised the Lord day by day, singing and playing their instruments. Verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. For the last 200 years, the Passover had not been kept with this gladness and with this sincerity. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people. And their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven. Chapter 31. Now when all of this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in places, the idolatrous high places, cut down the wooden images and threw down the high places in the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Notice this. Their love for God produced a hatred for sin. And I hope you realize that. That'll always happen. A true love for God will produce a hatred for sin. They tore down their idols. You will too if you love God. After the Passover, Hezekiah organizes the priests. Verse 3. The king also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and the new moons and the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. And note, Hezekiah puts his money where his mouth is. Notice he supplies these sacrifices with money from his own coffers. That's interesting. He was a sincere king. And then he commands the nation to give. He says, moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine and oil and honey of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And let me just take this moment to thank you for supporting the priests and the Levites here at Calvary Chapel. It allows me to give myself to the Word and to prepare the Bible studies and to minister as your pastor. And I just want you to know I appreciate the support that you've provided to enable us to do what we do. We appreciate it. And the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God. They laid in heaps. Notice the tithes were collected in heaps. Hey, here's how you know that this was a true revival. And I'm not exact. This is how you know this was a true revival. It impacted their wallets. True devotion to God reaches below your mind and below your heart. It reaches all the way to your wallet. You know, in the medieval times, armies were baptized before they went to battle, during the Crusades and so forth. But as the soldiers were being put under the water, they would always lift their sword hand and they would keep it outside of the water. So the only thing that wasn't baptized was their sword hand. In other words, they were giving God almost all. They were still reserving the right to use their sword at their own discretion. You know, Christians today do that with their wallet. I think some people are baptized with their wallet up above the water like that, you know. They give God everything but their finances and their tithes. It's as if they're baptized with their wallet in the air. The revival in Hezekiah's day proves that true devotion to God is going to grab my wallet as well as my heart. In the third month, they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. Imagine this, it took 4 months to collect all the tithes. When Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance. Now Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. Then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. Conaniah, the Levite, who had charge of them. And then he lists all those who helped out. In verse 14, a man named Kori was in charge of distribution. And notice we're told in verse 15, he gave to the great as well as to the small. I like that. There was no prejudice. There was no favoritism in their allotment of food to the Levites and to the priests. Everyone who properly registered was served. Verses 16 through 19 provides the details. Well, verse 20 sums it up. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. Boy, what a great thing to be said about you. That he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. Can they say that about you?
The book of 2 Chronicles tells of the events and lessons we can learn from the reign of King Solomon and those who followed. Each of these kings approached their rule in different ways, and their time in power led to, or led away from, God and his ultimate plan for them. Pastor Sandy will continue to teach us from the book of 2 Chronicles on the next edition of Sandy Adams Radio. And you won't want to miss it. If you'd like to listen again to today's message, you can do so through our website, sandyadams.org. You'll find many teachings there, in fact. Scroll down to the bottom of the page to see the books of the Bible Pastor Sandy has taught on to access the hours of audio messages available there. Learn more about our radio program while you're at sandyadams.org, as well as about the church that Pastor Sandy leads each week. If you live in or are visiting Atlanta, we'd love to have you join us at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. Each Sunday, we meet at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. to dig into God's Word together and spend time reflecting and praising God for what He's doing in our lives. Give us a call to get directions at 770-736-2828. That's 770-736-2828. Thanks for tuning in today. Join Pastor Sandy next time for more on the book of 2 Chronicles, right here on Sandy Adams Radio.